We're talking with Holland BPW General Manager Dave Koster, who made a presentation before the Michigan West Coast Chamber for the early bird breakfast on Tuesday. Briefly, what was the gist of your presentation to the business leaders of the Holland area?
Well, I spent a little bit of time just kind of recapping, you know, what we've done in 2013, you know, across the entire organization, and then kind of went into some more specifics about the new power generation facility and you know, tried to show the business community there a little bit about, you know, how we're stacking up relative to other power providers in terms of reliability and cost and all those things. So kind of a general overview with a little bit of emphasis near on the end there on the certainly the power project that we're doing.
For the business leaders, what do you think will be the advantages of the new plant to them as they look toward possibly expansion or maintaining their operations in the West Michigan area?
Well, I think we showed pretty clearly that when we did the evaluation of the number of different power supply options we had in front of us, that this was going to be the best, not only from an overall sustainable return on investment, but also the financial metrics far were you know, better than other options that we had, whether that was building something with solid fuel like coal or buying power from the marketplace. So there's a competitive advantage really for us going forward, and that is reflected, it's going to be reflected in our rates, our ability to serve them more cost effectively than other ways. And then having a resource right here in our community provides a number of different things as well, such as, you know, the stability of having that generation resource right here in our system and not having to rely upon bringing it in across long distances, across transmission grids into Holland, as well as having an energy resource that can help continue to provide benefit to the downtown area through snowmelt and maybe expansion of that, as well as the potential of district energy. So I think all of those things are competitive advantages for Holland.
What concerns did the business leaders voice to you either in the after the formal presentation or informally before or after the breakfast that might be brought back to your staffers and maybe the BPW board about this facility?
Well, I think there was a lot of interest in understanding, you know, more about the facility as time goes on here. There, you know, there weren't a lot of concerns that people raised at the meeting or, you know, outside of that. And I think one of the reasons for that, Gary, is that, you know, we've had a very stakeholder-driven process all the way through this. You know, it's not like there's any new news here in terms of, you know, our decisions or even the site design or things like that. We have had, whether it's the sustainable return on investment analysis, we had a stakeholder-driven process of over about 20, 25 people involved in that throughout the, you know, community leadership. We had similar type of process for this blue ribbon panel that was put together for the site design and the architectural design of the plant. And so I think, you know, this process and how open and transparent it's been, you know, has helped people kind of stay a little bit informed about what's going on you know, I think that's resulted in maybe not having that many questions about things going forward. They're certainly interested, and I think that, you know, we continue to try to find ways of communicating to them, whether through events like this or, you know, through our special website that's linkable from the HollandBPW.com website called P21decision.com, which is all about the power plant, has all the information right there that they would, you know, ever want to see. But, you know, I think that maybe that's part of the reason, but, you know, a lot of interest, but not a lot of questions or concerns, you know, coming through, you know, during the meeting or after.
Dave Koster, let me ask you this about the fact that it appears to be a very thorough process in putting together the plant, the designs, all the contingencies and the like, stakeholders being involved as the like. There is a trade-off, though, is if this facility was built maybe earlier, costs might not be as high as it could be now. Or is that an illusion that by going this long, it's actually saving money, even though if you'd built it earlier, it might not have cost as much to build?
You know, there's always ebb and flow a little bit in the cost of commodities, what, you know, steel, copper, other things. I don't know that we're in a tremendously high or low period, you know, as far as that goes. This plant will be a little bit unique and different from, you know, maybe your standard combined cycle power plant. It's certainly, it's not an outside facility as some of them are built, that looking more of like an industrial facility. You know, we know that building this in the downtown area brings, some additional cost to it that, you know, by enclosing it and having it in, you know, something that's going to be an enhancement to the gateway to the downtown rather than something that would detract from that. You know, that there's some costs involved with doing that. But in the long run, you know, that'll help serve the community. And the competitive advantage when we looked at this over a 25-year cycle, you know, really was, you know, far outweighed, you know, the other options that we had. So, you know, overall, this is still the best option for us. But, you know, it is true that there would be a little bit of a higher cost to build it. You know, here as this type of enclosed facility than maybe what some other facilities are built. But I'm not sure that that's a, you know, today versus yesterday versus tomorrow kind of thing. I think that's, you know, more of kind of the nature of the design of this plant, maybe relative to, you know, one that's built, you know, purely as sort of an outside facility, more of an industrial-looking facility.
Holland BPW General Manager Dave Koster, as we converse on Wednesday morning, February the 12th, where this thing stand on this new plant, what steps in the process are there, and where in the short term is this project going as of right now?
Well, a lot of things have been done at this point. There's a total of about 61, I think, parcels of land, unique parcels of land that we have been in the process of acquiring. I think we're down to, you know, about around eight or so at this point, six to eight. And so, you know, we have made a lot of progress. Now, that 61 parcels there, I think, are 30 to 35 individual owners, you know, landowners. Some of them own, you know, multiple parcels within that area. And so that's been very successful at this point. That's been moving along as the schedule had intended. And, you know, the next steps really, we also have our air permit, which is also on schedule. So the next steps really involve starting to acquire the major equipment. We have the bids for the combustion turbines, which are a very large package. It's about a $40 million package. Those bids are in. We're evaluating those at this time. We have other bids out there for some of the other large equipment, and so those will start coming in. And we're going to start the demolition process for that area, bringing down the buildings that are there, sometime right after tulip time. I think our plan is probably the week after tulip time. We'll start seeing activity out there and things starting to come down. The plan is to have the new the contractor mobilized to build the plant, you know, really starting that work early to the first quarter of 2015. And then the project is planned to be online by October of 2016. So a lot of work yet to do. We're getting close to the issuance of bonds for this project. We did receive our ratings from Moody's and Standard & Poor's. It was very favorable rating. We're in the AA class of ratings from both of those entities, and so they view this as strong. They view the organization as strong, and you know, so I think that's very encouraging as we move forward as well.
Is, in your mind, plans moving along as expected, faster than expected, slower than expected, or something that you really can't gauge right now?
No, I think it's still somewhat early, but I think in terms of the development work before the actual construction is taking place, you know, things are falling in line with what the project timeline had anticipated. So, you know, as far as a speed gauge one way or the other on this project, you know, I think things are lining up fairly well with what we had intended.
Okay, that takes care of my questions on the power plant. Dave, I do want to ask you one other thing. And
sure.
It's a story that came up today down in Otsego, where they're telling people in some streets that you're going to leave their water running through maybe early April because of some water main situations. I wanted to ask you how Holland's water mains are holding up under these extreme weather conditions. Are we in any concern, Dave Koster, about maybe seeing Holland's water mains under some stress and maybe having to go through some extreme measures as we're seeing over in Otsego?
Yeah, we haven't seen that show up here as much. You know, we typically this time of year, you will have some water main breaks from the frost, you know, being driven far down into the ground. And we tend to have actually more activity in the Holland area anyway when there's a lot of freeze and thaw, and you get stuff kind of, you know, freezing real hard and then a big thaw and coming back out, and you get a lot of movement in that frost layer. So far, it hasn't been too bad. We did have a water main break the other day, and I think we were interested. I haven't received a report back yet as to how far down that frost layer was. The other thing is, you know, Holland is a little bit more protected from some of the inland areas in terms of the extreme cold, you know, because we have that moderating factor of the lake. But, you know, we haven't seen, you know, that kind of thing showing up here, you know, yet. But certainly we're monitoring that, and, you know, I'm very interested to kind of hear how this, how things turned out on the water main break that we did have the other day as far as how deep the frost layer was. But nothing in terms of any sort of widespread impact here in Holland.
Because of the extended cold and the extended snow and the like, how concerned is the utility about some of the underground pipes, some of the underground wiring and stuff really being impacted by very, very hard freeze?
Yeah, I don't see that. You look at the depth that we have, you know, these, you know, our transmission mains, whether they are the water or the collection mains for the sewer. You know, we don't see that as being a very, you know, significant widespread problem for us at this point. The other thing is we've been very, I think, proactive at trying to assess condition of the mains that we do have to make sure that if they are, you know, reaching a point of age that would cause a concern and be more prone to that sort of impact, that we've been replacing things, I think, on a fairly aggressive, you know, relative to other communities, you know, a fairly aggressive schedule. But, you know, it is something that we have to monitor. And, you know, as of this time, we are not seeing anything widespread. But, you know, I think we're, you know, we'll be vigilant and monitor the situation going forward.
And one final thing, as we talk in mid-February about this, the amount of snowfall we've had in the Holland-Zeeland area, how much of a concern is it about when the snow eventually does melt, about possible issues involving the stormwater sewers and the like, and the melt maybe causing a stress on that system?
Yeah, and again, the city general, the city is responsible for the stormwater system. The BPW handles the sanitary sewer system, but it is important that we work together, because to the extent that stormwater drains aren't available for that water to be relieved and go back to the lake or back to the other streams that are intended to carry that away, you know, that will fill up the street. And we do have manholes that are sanitary sewer manholes where there could be an opportunity for water coming in, clean water really, stuff that's intended to go out the stormwater into our sanitary sewer, which would, you know, cause a, you know, more demand or more impact on the sanitary sewer flows, which, you know, is something that we really work to try to avoid, because, you know, we're really designed for a flow based upon actual sanitary sewer discharge, not the stormwater coming into that. So it's very important that we coordinate with the city and that we work to make sure that those storm drains remain open and, you know, are in place to be able to relieve that. So, you know, certainly the speed at which a thaw takes place can have a big impact on that. But it is important that we just, again, when those things happen, that we work to make sure that those drains are available and open so that they don't back up onto the streets.
Along those lines, then, what about the wastewater treatment plant? Concerns about possibly high water levels from the McIntyre or Black River because of the thaw?
No, not really. Not from the river itself. Again, the only thing that we look at are increased flows that would come in due to you know, a thaw that would be bringing a lot of water in. From this back up on streets and things like that. The other thing that we try to do is work with our customers. You know, this year we're trying to make sure that our customers are aware that, you know, clean water from footing drains around their houses, that that they're not connected to our sanitary service. You know, those are not supposed to be, and sometimes it's an educational thing that we need to get out there and have that information available for them, and also work with inspectors when homes are being put in place and signed off on, that those things aren't connected. Because again, when you have thaws in your yard or around the house, you can get those footing drains, bringing in water, and then the sump pumps that relieve that, if they're going into the sanitary system, those are basically taking clean water and putting it right into the sanitary system. So we try to work to avoid that as well. We are doing a lot of work and have over the last couple of years to upgrade our collection system, doing reliability improvements at our lift stations, as well as a new part of our wastewater plant that hydraulically can handle more flow now, but that doesn't mean that it should take in clean water from back up on streets or from footing drains. We really want that to, as intended, to go stormwater discharge and not through the sanitary system.